Okay, let's talk about this Google lawsuit. So Google just settled a lawsuit that could have cost them $5 billion, but instead they will have to fundamentally change the way they collect data. So this entire lawsuit revolves around the Incognito browser. You know, the window you open in Chrome when you want to be, for lack of a better term, sneaky. And it turns out while you were in that Incognito browser, they were tracking you. And while we don't know what specific information they were keeping track of, we do know they were using cookies to track online behavior. See, cookies keep track of everything you do on the internet. They follow you from site to site, and sometimes they follow you across different apps and devices. So with this agreement, Google agreed to give users the option to block cookies in Incognito mode, and they will delete all the data they've already collected from Incognito browsing in exchange for not paying the $5 billion the plaintiffs were asking for. Just your daily reminder that your data is very valuable.
Ooh, look, data.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm of course your host James Madison. This is Inside Four Walls. Now, lads, you see what the episode's about. To some of you, I know this is surprising news. To a lot of you, this is a day that ends in Y. But yeah, lo and behold, Incognito mode is not actually keeping anything in your search history secret from anybody. In fact, it's exactly what most people have assumed for about the last decade and a half or so. That it's just sort of more or less a honeypot. Claim you're not tracking it, claim you're not keeping data tabs on it, claim you're not bookmarking the activity of the user, so they do all their more devious activity in Incognito mode. Basically saying, here's a safe spot, a safe space for your degeneracy, but hiding cameras all over the place. Sort of a, hey, it's kind of like how a lot of people say Epstein was getting his clients, you know, like, hey, yeah, come party on my island. Oh, yeah, this chick, she's totally 18, Bill. Have fun with her. Oh, that chick who I said was 18? Yeah, she's actually like 15, and I got you on camera, dog. Yeah, you thought it was a safe spot to cheat on your wife, but, well, now I got you by the balls. And Google got caught having this safe space, this little shelter, this island, as it were, for you to do your degeneracy. Oh, look, maybe you were doing it for degenerate reasons, but let me ask you a question. And hey, look. Hey, I've been a teenager before. We all know what incognito mode is usually used for. What's your wholesome, non-dubious reason to be using incognito mode? Let me know in the comments below. But Google to delete browsing data collected in Chrome's incognito mode to settle privacy lawsuit. Yeah, they've been in court with this for quite a bit. And right now, you know, Google's in a lot of shit. There's been a lot of court cases going on. There's Senate hearings coming up. There's a lot going on when it comes to these big Silicon Valley companies. Especially when you look at what's going on with things like X, DWAC, Truth to a lesser extent, the slow but steady growth of things like Gab, the explosion of Rumble. And again, support BitChute. Do not let BitChute go flailing off in the distance. Make sure you keep BitChute competitive. BitChute is my favorite of all the newer video. They're not even new at this point. They've been around for quite a while, but exploded on the mainstream more lately. BitChute. It's my favorite platform, rising the most of Golden Age Prime YouTube. You know, before the dank era, as it were. But, we're over here at The Blaze. I know it looks a little funky just as men in the corners because I have this dark filter on. But moving on, this article is by Candace Hathaway. Google has recently agreed to delete browsing data collected while using Chrome's incognito mode to settle a consumer privacy lawsuit, the New York Post reported. Oh, let's see, actually. Perfect. I was actually trying to find this article. Oh. Ooh, Culver's is delicious. Anyway, completely irrelevant pop-up ad there. Again, if anybody has a good ad blocker, they recommend. The ad blocker I used for a while, right here, yeah, it doesn't work anymore for some reason. They put it behind a paywall, so now I'm looking for a new one that won't load my tab up with, like, pop-up shit, so. But moving on. Google to destroy browsing data to settle consumer privacy lawsuit by Reuters. The Blaze sends me to the New York Post. New York Post was the article I had first seen being shared around earlier about this. I'm late to covering this, but this is a story like no one else seems to have talked about. At least the people I watch haven't talked about this. And it came across my feed just because I haven't seen the comment, like a description of some shit on X. So I was like, oh, shit. Google to destroy browsing data, and now this one sends me to Reuters. I'm just going to stay here, though. To settle consumer privacy lawsuit, published April 1st, 2024. Google agreed to destroy billions of data records to settle a lawsuit claiming it secretly tracked the internet use of people who thought they were browsing privately. Terms of the settlement were filed on Monday in Oakland, California, federal court. So the courts in Oakland actually do go after crime occasionally. Weird. I didn't think they actually worked out there. Moving on. Federal court. And required approval by the U.S. District Judge, Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers. It's been quite a while since we said that name. Lawyer for the plaintiffs valued the accord at more than $5 billion. Wow. And as high as $7.8 billion. Google is paying no damages, but users may sue the company individually for damages. So there it is, individually. So I'm just saying, you may not get a massive class action lawsuit, but you will have legal teams built that will work together, more or less, to file these cases in mass. Because the lawyers are still going to want a cut of this profit. And the fact that it went down to, like, this is now set for an individual, like, grievance-level lawsuit. So that means it's so wide and so plentiful, as if it wasn't already obvious, right? So wide and so plentiful that there's so many victims that a mass class-action lawsuit would fucking cripple Google. Unfortunate they didn't do it. Now, here's the thing. Fundamentally, what Google used to be was great, but all these companies have been bloated and corrupted and become so full of themselves they've completely devalued themselves and divested themselves of the original virtues that brought them. Google's original motto was, don't be evil, only for them to become the personification of an evil, massive tech company. The same kind of tech company, the same kind of, like, techno-oligarchy, basically, that you would have seen, like, the G.I. Joes fighting against in the 80s. That kind of shit. But, continuing on, you know, like you're going to have teams of lawyers who are like, we're building a individual, we're taking on cases now, pro bono. Just keep an eye open for that, you know. Find, go by getting your information. See if you can claim some money for this. Again, you know, perhaps this is some projecting from my past here. But, like, other than, like, looking up weird shit that you don't want popping up in, like, the family browser. Like, you know, back in the day, I would look up, like, I'd go to 4chan and shit. You know, on the old home computer when I was a younger teenager. Using incognito mode and whatnot to go on, like, you know, 4chan and all these other, like, weird websites and whatnot. Newgrounds, because, you know, I didn't want to be caught on those websites. Because, you know, evangelical mom. Last thing you really want to do is get caught on, like, the Adult Swim website. Playing, like, you know, fucking Surgeon Simulator back in the day when I was on there. And the other thing was that, you know, the dubious delinquent shit that most people seem to use incognito mode for. So what actually are your reasons for using it? I'm genuinely curious. Lawyers for the plaintiffs value the accord read that the class action began in 2020, covering millions of Google users who used private browsers since who used a private browser, you left the word the out of that sentence, by the way, browser, since June 1st of 2016. Younger teenager, wow, so older teenager. I would have been an adult, basically. Really? I feel like incognito mode has been around a lot fucking longer than that. Give me 1 second. Okay, yeah, I had to double check, because I'm like, that doesn't fucking make any sense. Because I know damn well I was using incognito mode to go on sites like B and all these stupid fucking websites. Maybe someday I'll make a video of, like, the top 10 dumbest fucking websites I browse. Maybe I'll pull them up and see if any of them still exist. God, log into my old account, see if any of them still there. Ugh. Maybe I won't do that, actually. Then again, Hotmail doesn't exist anymore either, so that email doesn't work for anything anymore either. Beside the point. So yeah, right here, you've got various dates, but incognito mode Chrome experienced its launch in 2008, and is supposed to facilitate a more private browsing experience. Cookies, data, and search history are not saved. Womp womp. So tech.co, you're gonna want to update that. Oopsie doopsies, bud. But there you go. 2008. I knew I was like 12 using this shit. Like, I remember the first 4chan board I remember going through on B. It was like, fuck, 2010? I was like 11 or 12, 2010, around there. Yeah, about 12. Yeah, about 12, actually. And there was a whole thread. My brother got me on 4chan at a young age because he would leave it open at on his computer at his apartment. And I'd see, like, all the random funny videos and shit. Or links to, like, Newgrounds and shit. Different website. Weird shit. Shit I shouldn't see at my age. But still, you know, like, builds character, right? It was just, like, a thread of old school Lego parodies of, like, the most offensive shit imaginable. I don't know if this was a huge meme trend back in the day, like 2010 era, but it was just hundreds of people's parodies. I remember Saddam Hussein, Hootie Hussein gangbang Lego set. That was like a mock-up. I remember that one pretty clearly. Yeah. So I was like, I knew incognito mode existed way before that. I knew it. So yeah, now that I know I'm not, at least as crazy as I thought I was. Let's move on. The class action covers millions of Google users who use the private browser since June of 2016, says Reuters. I wonder what specifically happened in June 2016. Again, I want to take a little moment here. I know this sounds like a continuation of a rant, but it's actually something I want to drive home. You'll notice the date, right? 2016. I talk about this all the time. I'm going to make a Let's Chat dedicated to just this. The dead internet theory is bullshit. It was never the case. And I'm willing to take a hypocrisy claim on this one, you know, because I am definitely a byproduct of the internet through its evolution. I'm definitely a byproduct of it. My sense of humor, all that shit. But give me a second here. Starbucks house blend. Or Speedway house blend. I don't know why I said Starbucks. Anyway, back to the dead internet theory. The idea behind the dead internet theory is sometime a while back, the internet was overloaded by bots. Problem is, that would assume that a lot of these bots were so sophisticated that they basically function like a lot of modern day like ChatGPT and AI type, you know, chatbots, which just didn't exist back then. You know, bots were pretty obvious. Broken English, shitty links, you know, generic profile pictures. Bots are pretty obvious to tech, and a lot of times they still are. The only reason they've gotten harder is because of the use of, like, modern-day AI. Back then, yeah, the military, I'm sure, had AI. I've talked about this before in the past, that, you know, we're about 5 to 10 years behind what the military-industrial complex already has and is using. So I'm sure, like, the military industrial complex and government institutes and different agencies, you know, three-letter alphabets and their subcommittees, were using some form of AI, ChatGPT-type, you know, predecessor, progenitor-type tech to, you know, run bots on the internet. Sure, whatever. But largely what you saw following the election in 2016 and the culture war, more specifically Pizzagate, going back to, like, 2012 to 2014, a lot of people think it has to do with the election. I think it has more to do with the Pizzagate and the Gamergate era as opposed to anything else. Again, they tend to pick the candidates on the left and in the institutions who they want to run. Their chose opposition and their anointed one. The one who will run and win because they chose it, and the one who will be the fall guy, the patsy, who will be clowned on and besmirched and end up in, like, some senator or some talk show type role. You know, a Mike Huckabee situation. Or perhaps a John McCain type situation. See what I mean? You either end up, like, back in, like, the reins of, like, the House of Representatives or Congress. Or Senate. Or you end up in some cushy fucking TV studio. That was always the run of it. with Gamergate. And, you know, little moments before that, you know, with, like, the Tea Party and, you know, Anonymous. You know, like, we joke about Anonymous now, but back in the day, it actually was, like, something to really, like, keep an eye on. Like, they actually did shit. They actually made a difference and did good shit and, like, you know, it was a thing. Now it's kind of, I don't even think it, you know, you see a lot of LARPing, basically, with it now. However, you also had, like, the Occupy Wall Street movement. You had all these things that were growing, popularity online. Early forms of, like, Antifa and far leftism were starting to grow online and harbor in, like, the late 2000s going into the early 2010s. Same thing with things like the early version of populism and the Tea Party and whatnot evolving online, too. Turning, you know, from the Tea Party to the populist MAGA type deal we got today. All that was forming online. And then, you know, you get, like, this big news piece with Gamergate and all this shit, right? I'm going to TLDR because I don't want to go into the whole spiel. I got a whole conspiracy in my head about what actually happened to the internet. But TLDR. Certain people and certain institutes in power wanted the internet to be controlled. They didn't like memes because memes are actually their weakness. And they didn't like the spread information. They wanted to find a way to curb the fire Sisyphus brought to the people from Mount Olympus. They want to know how to curb that shit. Take it away from them. So what do? They basically Operation Mockingbird 2.0'd. They took over all these, you know, social media companies and online media companies and video streaming services, filled their, you know, terms of service and, you know, rule enforcement teams and, you know, moderators, policies and all that shit were written and moderated by, you know, anointed Fed-type figures. Look what happened with the Twitter files when Twitter was turned upside down and all these people were ran out there. We found out how many people had, like, long-running three-letter agency connections in Twitter. That's going to go even more for places like Facebook. You know, and Facebook's various... That's why Facebook owns so many social media companies. You gotta hire... Your glowing friends, your particularly bioluminescent colleagues, need a place to work. But with these people's engagement and writing these algorithms... Because you remember, like, hey, look... If you're an old fag like me, and I use that in the 4chan sense, you know what I mean? And I look, sideline here. I know to some of you older B-tards, it's like, well, quit saying shit like Lego B-tard, quit referencing 4chan, you know, you don't want the normies there, X, Y, and Z. Too late. I know what you're gonna say, too late. In fact, I actually think more normies could maybe save it so long as the policies don't change. Maybe I'll make a video about that, too. Anyway, completely side tangent there. I just know there's some people who don't like when you talk about 4chan videos because they think you introduce normies to them. And it's like, how many, like, internet historian-type channels are there that document this kind of stuff? The normies know. They may not fully comprehend it, but they fucking know. I'm sorry to break your bubble. Certain eras are gone. Moving on, though. These people whose weaknesses were memes, memes and jokes, and people who were so corrupt at the spread of information would literally destroy and end their careers. Like, think about how much further the Epstein story would have gone had the internet not been put into this. I call it a medically induced coma. Because the algorithms suppress things. People got their accounts flagged and banned. Sources like the Donald, which were, like, these massive ports. Like, I think it was something like 80% of all, like... The Trump memes are going viral from the 2016 election were coming from the Reddit, The Donald. And then they took that off, and that went under. Then you had Parler, which was also a source for a lot of memes being created and going out there. That got neutered and taken down. So you had all the... But that was later on in the cycle. That was, like, more towards 2020. That was in 2020. Yeah, 2021, actually. Anyway. My point is, you had this forced suppression. And then, out of fear of not being monetized, you had people like, I'll throw out some of my favorites, right? A shout out to my Australian audience. You're home to two of my former favorite YouTubers I used to watch in, like, my later teen years, which were Anything for Views, aka Chad, and Max Mofo. And Max Mofo's whole network of friends. Again, I have all the old content cops archived. On all my platforms, I have all the... And I tweaked certain shit to get through copyright, because, you know, iCux is weird, and even though I don't think I'm on his radar, these are important bits of historical, videos on the internet. Sounds weird to say. But, again, I'll make a bigger Let's Chat about this, clearly I have to, but you can go watch all those. I saw all the cake and baking videos and all those. But the reason why those videos had to be archived is because YouTube deletes them. Instagram deletes them. All these platforms start taking them. Now, Instagram, for some reason, is a lot less moderated. But then again, you take into account how often Instagram gets busted with child pornography. Like, I covered it not so long ago. 10 months ago. 10 months ago, Instagram housed and algorithms boosted and connected vast pedophile networks with millions of posts. And I mean hundreds of millions of pictures of... You see the title of that video. And what we know from the whistleblowers who were forced to answer for it, they said, no, Twitter or Facebook knows. It's just their very active amount of users on that. In fact, what's really funny about that is when you go digging through what whistleblowers and former employees who've worked on Instagram have had to say about it on a record, or when they're forced to, testify before a certain... people who are new to the channel, because there's some of you, I upload full congressional and Senate hearings. I do all kinds of shit like that, the full C-SPAN thing. You get the poor man C-SPAN right here, on top of this commentary and meme videos on BitChute and Rumble. You can go watch these and see for yourselves various Instagram and Meta employees being like, yes, I quit because of this, or I was fired because of this. Here's my evidence that Mark Zuckerberg knew of this illegal activity and knowingly housed and facilitated this illegal activity. Nothing happens to Mark Zuckerberg. The walls are, not to sound like the cliche, but the walls are actually slowly closing down these people. But again, to a lot of people on the right, it's kind of, it's like, yeah, well, bud, we've been supposedly seeing their big tech Silicon Valley implode forever and blah, blah, blah. It really is, though. It actively is. New tech, it's not even alt tech or new tech. It's rival tech. Not even in political context. I have seen people wearing Rumble gear in public. Maybe they don't even know it's Rumble. I'm sure most of them do. A lot of people my generation, Gen Z. I'm the oldest you can be in Gen Z. I'm 26. That's the oldest you can get in my generation. Now, I prefer BitChute, but a lot of people my age, and I got nephews and nieces who are, younger 20s, late teens, and middle teens, and tweens. I'm from I have a Catholic amount of siblings that are all way older than me, by twice my age occasionally, in some situations. So I got nephews and nieces that are older than me. Go figure. And I talk to them pretty often. I see what kind of tech they're on. I talk to them, see what platforms they're on, because I use them as my way to gauge. I work, do my politics, do the show, precinct delegate work, X, Y, and Z, right? So I don't have a whole lot of time to socialize with my friends. If I do, it's usually on the weekends, and that's why there's no uploads on the weekends, even though that's the time I get more uploads going. I'll make Let's Chat about this. I have to, for some reason. Anyway. Anyway, I slightly lost my train of thought, in all honesty, but I'll get back to this, right? So with Instagram and Meta, pardon me. Okay. I'm drinking a lot of coffee in the last couple of days. The videos I have uploaded, I've been pretty sniffly in. Bear with me. When it goes from hot to cold or cold to hot, the seasons change, I get a little congested. Same thing fucking happens lately, because, for example, we had 70-degree weather. The next day, it was in the mid to low 30s. Then the next day, it was in the 40s, and then it went back up to the 70s. And now, it's in the high 60s, but we're supposed to be getting snow later on in the week, and thunderstorms throughout the week. So, bear with me, I'm gonna drink some coffee. But yeah, as the oldest of my generation, a lot of people are on these, are on Truth. Now, the thing is, they're on things like Kick, and they're on things like Rumble. Some are on Gab, or some are on BitChute, But, like, no one I know other than, like, a couple people I've talked to in, like, the church and more religious settings are on Gab. Anybody I know who's on Truth Social are all in the, you know, precinct delegate sphere or, like, very politically active sphere. I don't really know a lot of normies who have Truth Socials. I know tons of people, regular normies, who are on X, right? And X is really, unfortunately, for all intents and purposes, while it is a lot better and needs a lot more work still, especially as Elon Musk has kind of, like, stepped away from it and let that bitch from the WEF, you know, run it, and she's kind of running it back into the ground with a lot of these, like, gender terminologies and policies, which is complete bullshit. And again, you can go to Listen Notes and find that episode up right there. Elon Musk gives Twitter to the WEF as he steps into CFO role. What is Twitter's future? And I said you get a lot of these gendered policies, you know, again, World Economic Forum. If you know and you watch their shit and you're kind of up on them, it's pretty predictable what they're going to do. Anyway, back to the original topic at hand, right? The internet was never dead. It's not dead. In fact, the reason why you're seeing so many things coming back right now, by the way, I'm going to TLDR all that shit with Facebook and Meta and all that. All these social media companies are loaded with three-letter alphabet agency connections. And they're also ideologically captured by the same cultural... Marxism is a strong word. There are strong Marxist overtones to a lot of it. But it is still a cultural revolution that a lot of these institutions and tech firms are all engulfed in right now. And a lot of that is facilitated when you look at things like Google, who have multiple members of their board, including the dude who actually runs Google, you know, the CEO, being a frequent speaker at World Economic Forum meetings and Davos group gatherings. Like, he's a member of the World Economic Forum. Hence a lot of the policies you see from him. They all behave a certain way because they all believe the same philosophical and ideological worldview. Basically, we are the elite and you are the peasant class and you will kneel before our cathedral, is how they see the world. So all these institutions are heavily, heavily infiltrated. And they allow this evil shit all the time, but they'll crack down on anybody's freedom of speech. Like, if you say anything about vaccines, elections, any hot button political issue, you're taken down. But vast networks of child pornography, because it keeps money in Mark Zuckerberg's hands, good to go, right? However, you're seeing a tide in that shift with... I made a video a long time ago called Elon Musk Buys Twitter and Wins the Culture War, right? And a lot of what you're seeing now is shit I called happening in that video. You're seeing a lot of shit that was pre-dead internet, things like Gamergate and Pizzagate, bubbling back up to the surface. That sweet baby shit, it ain't over. It ain't over by a long shot. And you're going to see a lot more of these, you know, Pepe, all these memes. I made references. Sam Hyde, right? Like, Sam Hyde was one of the many names I said. If they do a big comeback, you know the internet, the dead internet theory is bullshit. It was a suppressed, comatose internet. But now that Twitter's back up and moving around, give me one second. You know, stumbling around as X in a semi-freer format than any other social media platform to the point where people are going to actually have, you know, the resemblances of spicier conversations. And culture shifting as a consequence of that in ways that I find to be beneficial and good. So you're going to see, Google's going to start taking a lot more hits. Why? Because it actually has competition. DuckDuckGo, Brave, all these things are growing up. And Brave is about to launch off as its own thing, not supported off Google anymore. So we'll see where that goes and if that actually goes anywhere. But you're going to see in the next 10 years, Google's going to get its fucking lashings, I predict. Same thing with a lot of these, you know, bigger tech companies have been around for a while. The dinosaur media is going to start going the way of the dinosaurs. But let's wrap this article up, shall we? Users allege that the Google Analytics, cookies, apps, and the Alphabet Unit improperly tracked people who set Google's Chrome browser to incognito mode and other browsers to private browsing. They said this turned Google into a, quote, unaccountable trove of information by letting it learn about their friends' favorite food, hobbies, shopping habits, and, quote, the most intimate and potentially embarrassing things they hunt for online. Again, yeah. You know, a lot of people who are doing the Me Too shit where they're posting, like, images and, like, information about people from, like, you know, the actions 10 years ago, a lot of them people were people who worked within Silicon Valley themselves. They had access to this information. You're going to find this stuff goes way, you know, 2016, right? You're going to find, if you go digging, I bet 2016 is just where they stopped the investigation. But if you actually let it continue further, you'd find this goes back a little bit further. How much further? I can't fully say. I will say the idea of having a browser specifically designed to, you know, delete your search history instead of, you know, just having not having that feature and requiring you to go to your, like, search history and deleting it manually is a weird feature that seems like it would be, it's kind of like Snapchat, right? A platform where your photos and messages delete after a short period of time. So you don't have access to it, but it does encourage you to do really degenerate shit on that platform, which we know Snapchat maintains a record of. They even tell you as much. It's not gone from Snapchat's records. It's gone from the mobile data catch. Big difference. Again, look through the terms of service on Snapchat. They explain it for themselves. They're actually pretty transparent about that in a weird way. Under the settlement, Google will update disclosures about what it's collecting, or what it collects in private browsing, a process it has already begun. It also lets incognito users block third-party cookies for 5 years. Quote, the result is that Google will collect less data from users' private browsing sessions, and that Google will make less money from the data, the plaintiff's lawyer wrote. Google spokesman Jose Castaneda said the company was pleased to settle the lawsuit, which it always considered meritless, as it got its ass destroyed. Again, you don't settle courts, you don't settle cases you think are meritless out of court after almost, what, in 2 years it would have been 10 years of legal battles. If it was so meritless, you would have settled out of court a long time ago. But they didn't want to settle. Large swaths of people didn't want to settle. And eventually, after almost 10 years of absolute decimation and legal bills on your end, you caved and buckled. You're deleting the data they demanded you to delete. I find your arrogance in your time of defeat weirdly admirable, but also amusing. Quote, We never associate data with users when they use incognito mode, Castaneda said. We are happy to delete old technical data that was never associated with the individual and was never used for any form of personalization. David Boies, the lawyer for the plaintiffs, in a statement called the settlement, quote, an historic step in requiring honesty and accountability from dominant technology companies. Agreed. And absolutely fucking based. A preliminary settlement has been reached in December. Had been reached in December. Averting a scheduled February 5th, 2024 trial. Terms were not disclosed at the time. The plaintiff's lawyers plan to later seek unspecified legal fees payable by Google. Ooh, fucking go after them, hell yeah. Now let's look at some comments as we usually do. Alright, What's the End Game says, how does Google prove they deleted the data without having already copied the data? They don't. It's all honor system until they get caught again. Eager Beaver, great name. You know, I know this girl named Winona, she's got a big brown beaver. Eager Beaver says, it really matters not. Poetic. The information is considered to be public information in the first place. They've already sold the data to the feds, plus any other government entity willing to work willing to fork over the cash to pay for it. TRE, or Tree, Tree, says delete the data after they use the data. Got it. P-Helm. The real question is, if a suspect in any kind of sexual or violent or fraudulent crime is using incognito mode to hide the obscenity of their plans, can it be recovered to help the prosecution? Oh, I smell a boomer. That's an unfortunate take. Yeah, I mean, obviously there is, because we have the information knowing that they were housing data. And that means, of course, they were selling it, because they're only going to hold on to it to sell it. They can say Google wasn't using to personalize anything to you. That's what they always say. That's been their defense for a long time. They say, because we sell the data to individual advertisers who pay for advertising spots on our platforms and these websites. The advertisers personalize it, not us. They just use the data that we sell them. Eager Beaver, better yet, instead of trusting Google or any other tech company for that matter, why not just use a VPN and remove any worry about the browsing records that Big Brother maintains on us? In the recent AT&T data breach, 73 million account records, some 67 million were old customers. Why is it necessary for AT&T to maintain files on dead accounts, thereby putting their security at risk in the first place? Exactly. Shout out to the Liberty Safe tobacco about a year ago now, where Liberty Safes were handing over the entry codes and the key combinations to safes to the feds, so the feds with warrants could go raid your gun safe. You know, and you're like, where the fuck did you get the combination from? Well, I found out that they were keeping a back door of it, which, if you're a safe company, you really should just have no back door. You should just shut it down. Be like, oh, well, you know, once it leaves our facility, there's a default combination that goes on all the safes. But once customers change it, we have no record past that. But nope, they kept a record. And they handed it all over to the feds, too. Damn. But yeah, that being said, I'm going to wrap this episode of Inside Four Walls up here. I've been your ranter-in-chief, James Madison, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye.